From the moment they are born, girls start their hair journey trying to manipulate it so they can have good hair. Until they turn 18, their parents are basically in control of how they get good hair, especially if they aren't born with it. But what is good hair? Who gets to define what's good or bad? Does it even matter? Unfortunately, society says it does. And our guest this week, author Adrienne Vincent Sutton, has tackled the issue in her book, Bad Hair Day. Now, although the book is written for young and middle grade readers, the topic is one many black girls and women must face. Adrienne joins us in this episode to dive a bit deeper into this subject as we discuss it. If black hair is always a bad hair day. But before we get to that, hello, good afternoon, morning, or evening, wherever you may be, whenever you're listening to this episode. My name is Carolyn Owens, and I'm the host of Let's Coach. Let's Coach is a show that brings the best from the coaching world for you to use in your everyday life, and we talk about what coaching can do for you. We bring you some great small business ideas and some good news stories and stories about people who are paying it forward in their everyday lives. Now, when I'm not hosting the show, I serve to help you up-level your skills so you can up-level your career, your income, your business, or your life. And I love to connect with our listeners wherever you are in this great world of ours. So if you want to find me and connect with me, you can go to what I call my connection hub. Just go to carolyn360.com and you'll find me there. You'll find links to my social media platforms, my website, and even my email address. So if you would like me to connect you with a guest we've had on the show, or you'd like to be a guest yourself, definitely reach out to me. Now, in our last episode, which was episode 173, we had a very deep discussion on the beauty of black hair with Dr. Tamika Ellington. Now, Dr. Tamika is an associate professor at Kent State University Fashion School and an interim assistant dean for the College of the Arts. And with her team, she is bringing to life the history, culture, politics, and joy of black hair and the upcoming exhibition, Textures, The History and Art of Black Hair. And there's also a book available on Amazon and other bookstores of the same name. So I encourage you to check out the episode, but we're going to continue the discussion with our guest, Adrienne Vincent Sutton. Now, Adrienne has worked in marketing and advertising most of her career, primarily as a copywriter. She's the author of two children's books, Bad Hair Day and The Money Spell. And she's addicted to reading, with writing being not too far behind. She, along with her two daughters, also have earned their black belts in martial arts, with her daughters about to become second-degree black belts this month. So let's give a warm welcome to Adrienne Vincent Sutton. Adrienne?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, thank you for joining us on Let's Coach.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to tackle the subject.
So I got to ask, what led you to become a copywriter?
I actually kind of stumbled into it. I started out in the working for an educational publisher, and I was still trying to get some kind of writing gig at that point. I was more on the editorial side, and they had an opening in their department for a copywriter, and I just they offered it to me just based on the strength of my work so far, and so I just took off from there.
But you're also an avid reader, and I know you've mentioned that your favorite book is Native Son by Richard Wright. Why is Native Son your favorite book?
That book, it was really I was always as a kid reading everything, but I can clearly remember reading that book and being captured by it, and that was the book where I was like, I want to write. I would love to be able to write like that, and then just to be able to grab a reader in that way.
Oh, wow. So that book is what inspired you to go down the journey, this path that you're on.
Yeah. Took me a while to get here, but yeah, definitely.
And being an avid reader, you also like to write. What inspired you to tackle a subject like black hair in a children's book?
It actually wasn't really a decision. I had been, at the time, I was in my car, and it just came to me. The story almost actually fully formed, and that was something new because I had tried to write different things before in college and earlier, and then nothing was fully formed, and I just couldn't get anything going, so I kind of just abandoned it. And I, you know, copywriting was just something I did, you know, in advertising and marketing, but nothing, you know, in the literary sense. And so I was just, and it could have been at the time in my hair journey, I was thinking about getting locks. And so, you know, I was thinking about that and different things. And I had actually recently, I was a young mom. And so I had started being a young mom. I was reading a lot of children's books constantly, as you can imagine, you know, to the girls at night. And someone's asking me to read them a story. So I had started to become immersed in that genre in a way that I hadn't before. And of course, you can imagine there weren't that, especially then, there's certainly more now, but still not enough. At that time, there weren't a lot of books where my girls could see themselves in them. So I'm sure that probably played in the back of my mind, but really it was an idea that came almost fully formed in my head, and I started writing it, and I just ran with it, and I never really thought I'd publish it. It was just fun to write, and I would. And it brought me kind of back to, you know, the girl is 12, and I can remember, you know, being that age and wanting your hair to be straight, and you know, it just came to me in that way, and it was just really fun.
Well, I have to say I have read the book, even though it's a children's book. I loved reading the book. It was like, all right, I want to finish it. I didn't want to put it down. What's going to happen to this person? And so it was worth the wait, I have to say.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
But that was part of it as well. I was really, you know, the book's called Bad Hair Day, and, you know, a lot of the book is kind of wrapped around that and how the character sees herself, a lot of fun to it. And I wanted it to be fun and, you know, kind of be a roller coaster for people. Cause it seems like even the books, a lot of books for our children now, they're very, a lot of historical fiction or, you know, characters where I just wanted there to be a certain humor to it and for that to come across.
It was, and because it told the story, and it was a lot of seriousness to it, but it was also fun, definitely. And, you know, I mentioned in our opening that our last interview was with Dr. Tamika Ellington, and
right.
She has the book Textures, the History and Art of Black Hair, and she's having an exhibition at Kent State University, and we talked about this whole concept of good hair. And from reading your book, and being a black woman myself, this whole thing around our hair starts at a very young age. Are young girls under this pressure to get perms or to get their hair straightened?
You know, it's funny. At the time when I wrote the book, it's been a few years ago. My girls were probably like 5, 6, 7, and that whole, it seemed like it was kind of early on somewhat where black women were starting to kind of let go of relaxers. But I kind of thought at that time that they wouldn't experienced that. I guess I was really naive because when they, you know, started becoming 8, 9, 10, that's when I started to hear about it. You know, they would, you know, come to me and, like, you know, ask me about their hair and, you know, want, you know, can I get a perm? And then I was really taken off guard because I thought there'd be a little of it, but I didn't think it would be as much. I mean, they, you know, to the point where, I mean, I think I heard comments of, you know, people telling me, oh, you'd be really pretty, your hair would be really pretty if you got a perm, you know, that type of thing. And so there were a lot of conversations about what the perm actually was and what it meant, what it could do to your hair. And, you know, as far as the chemicals and just, you know, changing, you know, the aesthetic of your hair and not being satisfied with what was actually growing out of it. So there were a lot of conversation, but there is definitely that pressure with the girls having their hair straightened. And also, funny enough, even within, I found in the natural hair world, there's certain pressures about textures.
Really?
Which, yeah, you know, like people hair typing, you know, what type of hair do you have? And I'm not sure if, you know, I have 4C hair versus 3A hair, and I want 3A hair and not coarse, you know. So it's there's so many levels to Black women's hair and the experience of that.
You know, I never really thought that in that natural hair world that that's the conversation that people have. Now it's breaking it down into the type and texture of your hair. But now I realize somebody said to me, hey, they asked me, oh, if you take your braids out, will you have, you know, 4C hair? And I was I was like, huh? And I knew what they meant, but I was surprised by the question. But it's funny, and I also, as you were talking there, I got to thinking, you know, I never thought about how kids, especially young Black kids, are impacted in school when comments are made about hair, because I remember when I have a son, but it even carries over there, because when he was younger, I mean, I'm talking, he was in elementary school, and someone said, he was saying how, hey, they said, I can't do the same things with my hair that they can. And, you know, they can put the mousse in the gel and make it stick certain ways and everything. And he was like, I can't do that. You know, and we had to have that conversation on the difference of why he can't do that. But I never dawned on him that there was so much more behind those conversations that we have, you know. But now listening and you hear about this, that there is, it goes even further because it gets broken down now by texture. You know, you had decided to go natural with your hair. What was that like for you? Did you experience any criticism when you finally did it?
Yeah, it's funny. I had been toying with the idea for a while because I was just getting tired of my perm. The last perm that I got, it didn't take that well. And my hair, I just noticed, it just seemed like my hair was getting thinner. And I had recently moved to the Baltimore, D.C. area. And I was looking around and I started seeing a lot of women wearing their hair natural. And I just thought it was beautiful. And their hair seemed so full and it seemed free. And I was like, wouldn't that be great to not have to worry about the rain or, you know. You know, get my hair wet and all that. And so it took me a year to kind of, it took me a few months to say that I'm going to do it. Then it took another about 9 months to just say, okay, I had tried to grow it out and my hair was kind of at war with itself. And so I was going to chop it. And so a week after I had gotten engaged, I cut all my hair off. And I told my now husband, my then fiance, I don't think he thought I would do it. And so it didn't go over that well. And he was very shocked that I did it. And he just was like, it took him a while to kind of get on board with it. And, but actually, I received probably more praise from white people than black people, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
And that was surprising to me. When I cut my hair off, all like the white people I worked with were like, oh, you look great. Oh, my God. They, you know, and I don't know if they were, you know, trying to be nice or overcompensating, but I received a lot of positive compliments from white people. And then wasn't that I was receiving derogatory comments, but it was just like, oh, so what are you going to do with it? That's what I kept hearing. So what, you know, what are you going to do with your hair now? Like, what, like, and I'm, in my head, I'm thinking, well, what do you mean? What am I going to do with it? It's my hair. You know, and I was always kind of insulted at, you know, and, you know, there was just reactions were, and it was very varied as far as that. And I was just surprised the way it fell, you know.
That, some people have said when you make that decision to wear your hair natural, it changes how the world, how people perceive you, how they see you. And it seems like you experienced that.
Yeah, definitely. And it was like, it was immediate because, I mean, before that, I mean, to be honest, like, my hair was probably, it was to my shoulders. And when I would go out, I would get a fair amount of attention from men. And then that, when I cut my hair off, it immediately stopped.
Really?
Immediately. It was for no other, there was no other reason, but that's the only thing I changed about myself.
Right.
It was gone. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it might have been more a length thing because, you know, once I grew my hair out, it kind of, you know, reactions kind of changed. But the short natural, I had the TWA, the Tahumini Afro. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. You know, because it's
And I have to be honest, it threw me off too. I had to go through that whole texture thing as well. Because I didn't know what was going to be. I had never dealt with my natural hair before. So I didn't know what I was going to be dealing with. And when I cut it off, I think I had these thoughts of, you know, just my hair was going to be curly and I was going to run my fingers through it. And I definitely had, if we're talking hair typing, 4C coarse hair. And I had gotten comb coils, which were little coils at the time, and that lasted about a week. And after that, I was, for about a month, I was like, what did I do? Like, I knew I didn't want to go back to the perm. I never had that urge, which was strange now, but to think about that, I never wanted to go back, but I just didn't know what to do for about 2-3 months. I had no idea what to do with my hair. I had to learn it, you know, YouTube videos, internet, you know, I had to learn it all over again.
Did you go through any, like, moments of regretting it, like, the decision?
Cutting the perm out, because a lot of that decision was also based on health. I was really starting to get into eating better, exercising. And I had read so many things about the chemicals and what they could do, not only to your hair, but to your body and your hormones. I was done with that. That was never an option, but it was just, what am I going to do with it? That was me, you know, figuring it out. But I never had any regrets about doing it. And I wished, as a matter of fact, that I had done it in college.
Oh, man.
When I was, because I was thinking, well, I was younger and, you know, I would have had more time to figure everything out. And then you're just a little bit more free. Yeah, I didn't have to go to a job every day and get up and worry about, okay, what am I doing with my hair that morning? You know, okay. I just go to class, you know, and then figure it out.
It's like an adjustment period you go through, like trying to figure out, now that I've done this, what do I do?
Yeah, definitely, because you're not used to it, you're not used to seeing yourself like that. And then there's probably a little bit of, for a lot of people, me a little bit projection of, you know, how people see you, but it definitely takes some getting used to.
And your book is for that young age, middle school, and, you know, mm-hmm. but the younger girls, they don't have a choice, and a lot of times their parents are saying, no, you are not getting a perm, I'm not taking the time to straighten your hair, and the parents make that decision for them.
Yeah.
You know,
but,
and they get stuck in this place, and they are mad at the parents, you know, feel like other kids are making fun of them.
It's tough because they are, looking back, I guess, you know, of course I made that decision, and I would tell them all the time, I'm like, you can get a perm when you can pay for it, you know, so when you get your job at 16, I'm not paying for it. But honestly, if they had pushed real hard and I saw some real self-esteem issues, I probably would have broke down and let them do it, because we all have been through it. You know, most of us have been through it. I don't think it would have been the worst mm-hmm. thing in the world for them to go through. But I was just really trying to encourage them to just love, you know, because I wish I had done that. I wish, looking back, you know, I wish I never had gotten one.
I just until recently really found out how dangerous some of those chemicals are. I, for
mm-hmm.
the first time, had watched that documentary, Good Hair, by Chris Rock, and they show what happens to a aluminum can after sitting in some of those chemicals for over 4 hours. The can literally disintegrates. Granted, we've had improvements, and there's different types of products now, but we're still
mm-hmm.
willing to put chemicals on us that we, you know, we think, well, it's my head, but it actually
mm-hmm.
absorbs into our system, into our bloodstream, and can impact
mm-hmm.
us later. There's things like, you know, we thought that, you know, cigarettes didn't link to certain things and others, and we find out years later that these things do, and that's what we find out and see the damage that's done, and some of the sores that you get from them, chemicals on our head, it literally burns your scalp.
Right, and that's happened to me. I've had times where, you know, they tell you don't scratch your scalp, and I have put on, you know, done, you know, because for the longest I was doing them, until I became an adult, I was doing them on my own, which I don't recommend to anybody. If you're going to do it, go to a professional. You know, but I would get these sores, and I remember it's amazing that I still have hair at all or scalp, because I can clearly remember my freshman year of college putting a perm in my hair and wanting it to be straight. And so I figured if the longer I left it in,
mm-hmm.
the straighter my hair would be. I put a box perm in my hair throughout my whole hair and left it in for an hour.
Oof.
An hour, which is crazy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe I did that, and my hair didn't just fall out.
Oh, it
but
did?
It came out. I mean, my hair was stringy, and you know, but it was straight, and that's all I wanted at the time. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, when we're young and we're you know, younger, we're kids, adults will look at the young girls and will say, well, oh, their hair is so cute, it's puffy, you know. But then we become adults, and people
mm-hmm.
will look at the hair and kind of say, what is she doing? Why is she wearing her hair? Or they'll think if it's the really, really, as you said, TWA, teeny weeny afro, that
mm-hmm.
you got to have cancer and your hair fell out. You know, I mean, you've seen some of that.
Yeah.
You know, how do we begin to kind of change that thought process that it's not this awful thing for an adult woman to have natural hair?
I think it's just, you know, having conversations like these. I've talked with other women, I remember when I first was, you know, doing it, and people would say to me, my friends or people that I kind of knew, oh, it looks great on you, but I could never do that. I don't have good hair. I was looking at them, and I'm like, I have the same texture hair you do, you know, or, you know, my face or, you know, but it just amazes me. But I think it's kind of having those conversations. And two, also, I think it's what's changed, I think, within the last 15, 20 years is seeing that on TV and seeing more of those images in commercials, and also the variety. Because I always thought as a girl, you know, you had natural hair, it just meant you either had a little afro or a big one. And which is fine. Those are great options. But, you know, there's so much more to that. I mean, there's twists, there's locks, there's twist outs, there's braids, Bantu knot, you know. So many different options now, I think, and I think that helps as well.
It's almost as if it's art. It's like it's an art form and a self-expression.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think for Black women, our hair has always kind of been like that, even when it's permed. You know, when you had your hair permed, I can remember, especially I lived in an all-white town, all-white school, and I never went to school with my hair the same way, even though it was perm. And every day I would come in and they would say, your hair is different. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. And so, but it is like an art form. You do something different to your hair quite often, you know, and I think that's just part of a Black woman's experience.
You know, it's funny because you know, I've been wearing braids for some time now, and I've been thinking, yep, I'm going to eventually take these braids out, and I'm going to wear my hair natural. But I had a hairdresser who happens to be, it's a Black hairdresser, tell me, I do that the only way to wear my hair natural is to add hair to it, to style it.
Oh, no.
And so I was like, huh? But that defeats why I want to wear it natural, you know, but it's like, you know, do we have to add hair to our hair to wear it and say it's natural?
Yeah, I don't understand that thinking at all.
She's a great hairdresser.
She's just probably not used to seeing that or understanding that that's an option. You know, because even my girls have gotten, they've gotten both. Recently, they just for the first time gotten hair added. When they would get their hair, I would take them to the hairdresser to get their hair twisted, and she would do it all in their natural hair, and it would look great. Yeah.
That's one of those hurdles and things I know that I'll have if I go down this route that I will experience is like I like to say, it's training my hair to embrace its natural state.
Absolutely. And there's going to be times, like I certainly just, no matter if your hair is permed or straightened or whatever form, you're going to have a bad hair day. And it doesn't, you know, I especially starting out, you know, lots of bad hair days and like walking out of the house, you know, being really irritated with myself because I didn't know what I was doing, and it looked crazy. But I mean, that happens in every type of hair. So, you know, just because you have permed hair too, doesn't mean it's going to look great all the time either.
You know, and you have had your hair, you've been wearing it natural for a very long time. And one of the things, I mentioned the movie Good Hair by Chris Rock, and one of the ladies he interviewed in it said, wearing an afro with a suit is a contradiction because you're not seen as a professional. Okay, and granted, I believe this was done like 10 or 15 years ago. It was done some time ago. But do you
yeah.
think that's still true for people today, that if you have whatever size afro you have and you put a suit on and you are going to work, that that's not professional? Do people see it that way?
It's so strange because I hear that a lot still today about wearing your hair natural to an interview. And I can remember doing that, and I was kind of, the first one was I had a, I wore a headband around my hair. I didn't want, I was doing a lot of that at first. Just kind of putting a headband around it and having the, you know, so it took me a while to even feel comfortable to wear an afro out, but certainly there were people that would say at that time, you know, you wouldn't get the job if you wore your hair natural at all. And I've worn locks to an interview. I've worn my hair natural, twists, every kind of thing you can think of. And I've gotten jobs in every, you know, time in different hair states. I do think that it happens, of course, I've read the stories where people have had trouble in the military or different, you know, places about their hair. I have not personally experienced it. But I do definitely think that that is a valid concern that people have. And maybe it just depends on the industry. I've personally never experienced it.
I have to say I did experience it in the military because there was a time where there were like height requirements on how high a guy's hair would be or even your braids, how thick and tall they could stand or, you know, kind of where how your hair was. And, you know, comments made, I mentioned it on the last episode that I was told that if I had got braids, it would affect my evaluation that we get. And, but that wasn't even from my supervisor. It was from a coworker who didn't have any authority to say that. But when my supervisor found out, who happened to be, it was a white female. She wasn't happy that that comment was even made because she would never do something like that. She, you know, was based on our own merit and the work we did. But to hear that that's what was being said, I think it shocked her as much as it did me. But that concept, because when you think about what you have this young group of girls that are coming up now who are going to be, you know, going to school and going into the workforce, and it's a different environment, it's a different world. But you mentioned that when you first cut your hair, and you call it the big chop, and you chopped off your hair, and you didn't get as much attention from men, there's this thing about this constant, you know, people perceive that running their fingers through their hair is desirable, and that's why you should have that long hair. And you even addressed it in your book. You know, is that something that is truly out there, that men have this perception that if you don't have the long hair or if your hair isn't straight, it devalues you, you don't have the same worth?
I think it's definitely gotten better, but it's probably, you know, somewhat still out there, you know, because you see a lot, you know, there's that, the standard of beauty, you know, Beyonce and, you know, that type of aesthetic. It's definitely better, but I think even just in general, there's something to men, white, black, whoever, they didn't like long hair. Whether it's natural, you know, or not, there's just something about it. You know, I'm not sure why, but, and before it used to be the, you know, straighter the better, but I do think in some respects that's getting better, but it's still definitely there.
And it's, I think it's her sister.
About that.
I think it's Beyonce's sister. I'm gonna probably pronounce her name wrong. Solange.
So yeah, I think it's Solange. I think
she's wore hers often in more of an Afro natural style. And that she has really become known for that, for embracing that look.
Right. And it's funny. It's interesting that you mentioned, because, so you have this, on the one hand, Beyonce. And I'm pretty sure Beyonce has natural hair. She just wears a lot of weaves and wigs, which I totally get. I mean, because she's performing. She probably doesn't want to be bothered with her hair. But and then you have Solange, she's very you know, that's her style. She wears it natural. And and it's funny, I don't know if she does this intentionally or, but I see like their mother, Tina Knowles, she posts a lot about her daughter's, her Beyonce's hair. She'll post about her hair and how many inches she has. And I'm like, you know, I just think that's strange. And like, you know, she's a hairdresser too. But I just always thought that was interesting. She posts a lot about Beyonce's hair and how long it is and how many inches she has. And I never really have seen her do that with her other daughter. I don't know.
Man, I was looking at hers, Solange, if I'm saying it right, her hair, to kind of get some ideas of what I would do with mine if I did when I take the braids out.
I did too. At various points, when she got her hair cut short, when I did it, because I've chopped a couple times, and she was one of the people that I was like, that's a cute look.
For young girls, you know, all ages, from the middle schooler, we'll start there, all the way up to that professional 50, 60-year-old woman who's had herself in this career or business, is self-esteem associated with our hair?
Yeah, definitely. Especially, I think, for black girls. I always felt weird when I was young, like if my hair was looking a certain way, that I was good. Like, you know, everything else, you know, the way I look, but if my hair was right, then I felt like I was right, which is weird to say. But I guess it depends on what in this. For other people, it could be their bodies, you know. So we all have, especially women, a lot of our value gets placed in how we look, unfortunately. You know, men have, I'm sure they have it too, but it's different. It seems to be different. We're more objectified, so it seems to be different. But there's a lot of, you know, self-esteem value placement in our hair, and so that can be a hindrance, most definitely.
That's funny that you said that, how women are objectified in certain ways about their hair, about their body, but when you think about the guys made dad bods like this sexy thing, you know, where women couldn't add, if you add the extra pounds on, something's wrong, but a dad bod is in. You know, if you have that, you know, you're still going to get the attention, and it's like you still, you know, they own it, they embrace it. Yep, and I'm not trying to worry about if I don't need a six pack, you know.
Right.
So you still, they find a way to make it, you know, step into that confidence, step into the power who they are, that, you know, whatever success they've achieved or, you know, how they choose to define success, it's not associated with their look, you know, because as men can age, they're distinguished.
Yeah,
women are old.
It shows you how the world is still very man-centered, because we look at a lot of stuff is still looked at, the images that we see are still looked at through that lens. So because they look at it and they're dominant with us, those images, that's what we see, and we kind of take that for ourselves, I imagine.
And it's funny because there's, and I don't know if it's predominantly here in the United States, because there are other countries, when you do the research and you learn more, that they look at the older woman as that's the wisdom, that is the matriarch. You give ultimate respect to her in a lot of different mm-hmm. countries. But here, I remember I was at the gym, and this kid almost, he thought I should get out of his way. I mean, and he, you know, probably barely 20 years old, and he's like mm-hmm. looking at me like I'm at fault and I need to move out of his way. I'm like, wow, what happened to this whole concept of respect your elders, you know? But right. it was awkward because yeah. you see more and more of that, but then you'll hear mm-hmm. How that growing old is like something they strive for, like in other places, especially yeah. with women.
Mhm. Yeah, we're still very there's a lot of ageism and sexism.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, definitely.
But I mean, this whole hair thing is a big, it's an economic piece too. It's a financial
mm-hmm.
industry. When you think about mm-hmm. There are people who in some places will save for a weave or a perm, where you can go into a shop that will charge somewhere from $1,000 to $4,000 for a weave, and I hope that $4,000 weave lasts a long time. But you know, you think about it, it's a business. You know, people, you want to start saving that money. There was a time, I don't know if they still do it, where you could lay it away. You start putting a deposit, you know, put a little bit down each week to know when you're there. And as soon as you get that weave, you start saving mm-hmm. for the next one.
yeah, I've definitely heard of that. Yeah, I don't know what to. That's crazy to me, but I guess it's like other stuff too, like you know, bags and the shoes and in general. I mean, you can't be a slave. When you get into that stuff, you're kind of being a slave to your hair or your hairstyle or your possessions, you know, or whatever have you. And I mean, a really good example of that, and it's in an odd way, you know, you heard about the woman with the Gorilla Glue.
Oh my God, just recently my son told me about that. And I don't, you can kind of talk about it because I don't know that our listeners have heard about it. And that, oh my.
You've been, yeah, if you haven't, I couldn't escape the story. I kept hearing, and I got fascinated by this woman. And I think she's like in her early 40s or 40s. And
I thought she was younger.
No, I thought she was too, but I think she's, if I'm correct, you know, she's a grown woman. She's not in her 20s.
Ooh.
So, you know, the style of, you know, flipping your hair back into a ponytail, fine. And she had run out of whatever type of gel to have it, because you have to have it bone straight, you know, down. And she got into some Gorilla Glue. I mean, it's glue. And sprayed it on her hair like hairspray and flipped her down. And so you can imagine it's day. And she looked, it just was crazy to me. And so just that idea of, like, say, being a slave to a hairstyle, it wasn't acceptable for her, the fact that her hair was probably already slicked down to a degree, but she probably figured it wouldn't. This is just my theory, you know, that it wouldn't stay, and that was unacceptable to her. It was unacceptable that there would be a hair out of place at some point in the day, you know, that the hairstyle was not going to be that perfectly straight, so much so that she put super glue in her hair. And forget about the consequences later on. You know, she probably figured if she really, really scrubbed her hair, it would come out. But to actually put super glue in your hair because of a hairstyle.
That's some chemicals that you're putting up on. I mean, just even by your face, even, I would probably break out and hive up and everything else. That's strong.
Right. And she lucked out that she was able to, I mean, she put herself out there on social media, and I figured that someone would help her and step up. And there was a black doctor who offered to do it. He used his chemistry knowledge and figured out a compound of solution of alcohol and this, that, the other, and it came out. And she, luckily, because I was scared for her that, forget about her hair, I was worried she'd lose her scalp.
Yeah, oh.
You know, forget it, you know, but she was able to, she was able to get it out, thank goodness. But, I mean,
but that's the length.
Hmm?
You know, that's what the length that we'll go to,
right,
to have
right.
hair styled a certain way, or, you know,
right.
just to be able to, I don't know if it's fit in or, you know, but we, and so black women will get a reputation of being high maintenance because
mm-hmm.
they have
yeah.
to spend all this money on their hair and they have to get it all done so often. And I remember when we first found out that some of our friends got their hair permed every, you know, 3-4 months. They're like, how did you do that? We got to go every, 4 to 6 weeks to get a perm.
Yeah,
man.
I had, by the time I had gotten my last perm, I was stretching that baby out. I would get one probably every 3-4 months. I had gotten to the point where I didn't need to have it so straight. I'm like, I want to keep my money. You know, but yeah, a lot of us are slaves to a hairstyle.
When you did cut your hair, did someone, like, did anyone ever say, hey, let me touch your hair?
No, it's funny. I'm trying to think. I don't remember that. And it seems, I mean, except for my mom, you know, and that's my mom, you know, my, you know, relatives have touched my hair, but a stranger, that seems such an odd request for someone you don't know where their hands have been to. So that would have been a no. But yeah, I just my family, like when I first got, you know, because I got my hair, I did it before my mom did it, still perming, and she was trying to figure it out, and so. You know, of course, it's my mom. I don't care. She cuts my hair on my aunt. But, yeah, never a stranger. I don't remember a stranger ever asking to do that. But
I heard
people. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I have to say, if I heard you correct, you cut yours and then your mom cut hers? Oh.
Yeah, not, like a year or so later, she was thinking about it. And my mom, she had her hair. She in the 70s, she wore her hair in an afro, so she had kind of been through it, you know, before, but it had been a while since she had had natural hair, like a long time. And I never remember her. I just remember her with a perm. But yeah, probably about a year or two after I did mine, she cut her perm out.
Oh.
And she hasn't looked back.
And I mentioned this when I was interviewing Dr. Ellington, Tamika Ellington, and we look at this issue as being a woman-only kind of issue, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, the young boys go through this, you know, men, they can wear, if they have their hair in any type of plaits or cornrows or locks or, you know, it was like this association with them being, you had to be a rapper or you're a drug dealer or something like that, however you're wearing your hair, if it's not that short, clean-cut look. I mean, completely, and I'm saying clean-cut, and that's probably even the wrong way to phrase it, but that's the perception that men go through this. And, you know, I got to just give my shout-out again to Lenny Kravitz. With his look and his locks, you know. Hey, if you guys know him, I'd love to interview him, meet him, you know. Call me. You know, I mean, you just look at that. There's this association. But even with him, you think of it's got to be a far-out bohemian kind of lifestyle
That's
to have
true.
Some kind of hair like that.
Yeah, I've never thought about it too much with guys. You're right that they kind of, you know, versus that, so, you know, that clean cut look, you know, versus the locks. And I have heard of guys having, you know, trouble with jobs as far as that. I have heard that.
Because I just see picture him wearing a suit or coming in for that interview, and they're immediately judged as soon as they sit in that, you know, chair. Before they open their mouth, they're judged by that look. And again, depending on what industry you're in.
Right, because especially now, I would think, because like a lot of, it seems like a lot of rappers have the locks now.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe there's that stereotype when they walk through the door. You know?
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you think about how you're judged, we as women and young girls, it starts when you're young, we tend to judge each other. That you see it so much. You even mentioned it in the beginning here of how you were viewed by, you know, other black women, other black individuals when you cut your hair. How we tend to be so much harder on each other about how we look.
Definitely.
If you don't have the right hair, you don't have the right song. And then they even go through, some people, I my eyes can't tell. They can tell even what kind of hair you have put in your head.
Yeah. I think most of that, personally, that judgment has been either I've experienced it or I've seen other women say it about black women to black women. I've seen that more between us than I have from white people. And it's, you know, like you said, with textures, whether, you know, you have so-called 4C hair or 3A hair and how you can, you know, I remember when when I was looking for information when I first got my hair cut, I had never heard of the typing system of hair, and I went to this. I don't even know if this website is still exists. It's called Naturality.com, and that was one of the bigger websites out there for people to get information about how to do hair and products. And there was constantly women on there asking, you know, how can I get my hair to be curly? How can I? What products can I put in my hair to make it curl up? And it's constant. I'm not sure if it goes on as much as it did then, but that was like one of the biggest, you know, and I even found myself doing it. I was like looking for products, so how to get, you know, but for the most part, if you don't have an existing curl pattern, there's nothing that's going to bring it out, you know. You know, you can mime, you know, you can do it in other ways by, you know, doing braid outs and twist outs, and that's fine. But, you know, even in natural hair, you get into, you know, trying to manipulate your hair to do something it might not be meant to do, you know, which is, I thought was very interesting, you know, like, so you took out the perm, but you're still kind of chasing a certain aesthetic. Because you're not happy with what you have. And I think a lot of, especially when you big chop, is that, you know, factor of probably a certain factor of that, because you're not used to it, you know, because I think I did, you know, honestly go through that a little bit at first, but I very quickly found out that my hair wasn't going to do that, and I just had to get over it and move on.
You made up to me what's a very important point, and it's about being happy with what you have. If you, you know, go and put a weave in your head, if you have braids, if you have locks, you know, it's about how you feel about yourself, not what society thinks about you, not trying to assimilate or be a certain person for someone else. It really comes down to how we feel about ourselves with whatever look we have.
Definitely. And that was part of the book. And, you know, like I really wanted that character to kind of go on that journey to, you know, of discovery of it's okay to kind of you know, look back at yourself and look at what you have and be satisfied, not only where she was with her hair, but where she was as a kid, you know, and not trying to grow up too fast, but being satisfied with where you are in that moment.
And the book has so many lessons in there, and it's a great one. I would say, you know, for a parent, if your child is reading the book, Bad Hair Day, I would read it with them because there's so much that comes from that book and about how that journey, that hair journey, it really impacts how they grow, how they think about themselves, and it can influence so much for an individual. And as parents, we have influence over that, on how a child will view themselves and how they define beauty.
Yeah, definitely. It's like you have to, you're constantly talking, especially, and I know boys go through it, but it seems because, and we touched on it before, women are so objectified. And almost right from the beginning, you know, and they pick up on it very early. I was surprised at how early my daughters started talking about their appearance and being, you know, disappointed with various things and or having questions about various things. And so I had to start being more intentional about those conversations earlier than I thought I would, honestly. Yeah, that surprised me.
So what would you say to a parent who has a young daughter who is struggling with her hair journey?
I guess it's hard. I think you have to be very sympathetic with them. You can't, you know, I had joked about, you know, telling them, oh, you can't get a perm, you know, but I think you have to have a certain amount of sympathy because as Black women, we've all been through it and we know how it is and you can't minimize it. They have to know that you understand that piece. And then also, I think you have to start, I was kind of intentional about showing them certain images and talking. And then I started to be more intentional about hairstyles, like, oh, well, look at this. You could do your hair like that, and show them the different spectrum of hairstyles that are out there. And so you can offer choices and talk to them about, and this comes up in the book as well, the mom, she had no idea what to do with her own hair, never mind her daughter's. And I was kind of in that, you know, most of us do not have a license in cosmetology, you know, have not been to hairdressing school. We're trying to figure it out on our own. So, you know, if you can invest in going to a natural hair salon, even for a consultation, definitely having those sympathetic conversations. And if it gets to, you know, but I think really kind of breaking down why they're having those feelings and what it actually means, and talking about the real dangers of the perm. You know, because that's when I kind of broke it down, they kind of, you know, that kind of opened up my daughter's eyes a bit too. Like, oh, I don't know if I want that in my head. You know,
when they read the book, what do you want the reader to gain from it?
I think, you know, just overall, I think what we're talking about, you know, for girls, I just want them to know that it's, you know, it's okay to kind of have those feelings. And, you know, just like anything else, when you're feeling, having those self-esteem things, it's, you know, you even embrace that to a certain extent. Like, I feel that way. Don't dismiss it. And but you kind of have to, you know, work your way through it and know that, you know, that's not all there is to to life. You know, you're not your hair. and I, you know, it's something, and it's like a double-edged sword because you're not it, but you also should not be ashamed of it. You should embrace it. And, it, you know, like I said, it's, we talked about it being wearable art. It is. You know, use it as an art form. And I urge men to do the same, you know, and then encourage their mothers and sisters and aunts to do the same. We all have to, you know, kind of do it for each other.
And men, I know I have some guys out there that are listening to this episode and thinking so, you know, and I hope, and what you think about it, you can touch natural hair. It will not hurt you. I mean, there was this, I remember there was this thing about if you touch the afro natural hair, it's like the Brillo pad. That's what somebody said it one time, that if you touch it, but that's not true. You know, it actually kind of feels is soft.
Soft, right. That's, I have heard that, like, from other people, like, their hair is. And I have to say, I had those same, I probably had some of those same misconceptions myself, how delicate it is. I thought I could just kind of do my hair, you know, run. No, you have to be, you have to treat it with care. You know, it's not a Brillo pad. It's not indestructible, you know.
It does still require some maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can't just do anything to it.
Companies are, there's coming out with good, healthy products, regardless of what, you know, style you choose, if you are, you know, weaving your hair, if you're braiding your hair, if you're locking your hair, if you're wearing it, you know, just nice and straight.
Yes.
They're coming out with better products now from a holistic,
absolutely,
healthy perspective. But you may have to do some homework and do some research.
Mm-hmm.
But like Adrian was saying here, we all have, regardless of what hair type you have, regardless of your ethnicity, we all, even men, have bad hair days. And you have two incredible, beautiful daughters. You know, and you've talked about some of the conversations that you've had with them. You know, but what's that main thing you tell them to remind them of who they are?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. I do have some great girls. Again, we just have those conversations about you have to be you, you know, you can't be anybody else. And it can be hard sometimes because you're looking around, you know, the grass is always greener, and you're looking around at, especially girls, they compare themselves constantly, you know, but, you know, there's only one you, and you have to, you can't go through your life trying to be like somebody else or something you're not. You just won't ever be happy doing that.
Yeah. I would not be a good host if I did not mention that you have a second book out, too, and it's called The Money Spell. What's that about?
So that is about a boy who wants a video game so bad, and he wants it right now, but his parents won't give him the money. His friends are all set to get it, and they just need – everybody's going to chip in and buy it, and they need his portion of the money, and he needs it now. And his grandmother offers him her money spell, but also a lesson in that money spell of how – what's really the best way to get the money, and I'll just leave it at that.
And see, now that's one I can definitely relate to, having a son who's all about gaming. He's studying it in college. He's studying game art and animation. But I've watched him grow up playing these video games, and conversations we've had about when we're going to actually buy the games. So, and I do have a copy of that book, which I will be reading. I did read Bad Hair Day, like I said, and I'm wondering if there's going to be like a second, you know, series here going on, what happens next with them as they get out of middle school and get into high school. Let's watch them grow up.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, Gabby and her friends haven't kind of kind of entered into my mind lately. I'll see you maybe down the road, but yeah, I've been working on some other stuff. So. Mm.
Yeah. And so what is next for you? You know, you're an amazing author. What's next for you?
So I have another children's book I'm kind of trying to put the finishing touches on. I'm actually going to try and shop that around to some publishers. And then I have started an adult fiction book.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so that's new for me. That's what I've kind of always pictured myself. I never thought I'd write a children's book. Never.
Oh,
I always thought I'd write adult fiction. So, yeah, so I started to kind of outline that. I kind of got it outlined, and I've got a couple chapters. So I'm trying to see where that goes.
Oh, wow. I definitely look forward to it because these are – you're addressing issues that are relevant, that we experience this journey that we walk through during this thing called life here. And I will say, you know, it's as we're having this conversation that, you know, like I said, a lot of what we're talking about, although we talk about what we experience in the Black community, you know, some of it carries over because of the perceptions and how society views so much of this. But there's a shift happening as we learn to embrace who we really are and how we want to live our lives. And I think right now, depending on, you know, when someone's listening to this, we're experiencing this thing called COVID and the coronavirus. And I think it's, you know, having a quarantine and things. People could not get to the hairdresser, which is the result of some people going natural with their hair. Yeah, it kind of changed their perspective on things.
Yeah.
And it's how we view that we all, you know, all of us across all our backgrounds are beautiful. And we have to own that. And so as we're closing out this interview, first I want to thank you for sharing your time and a part of who you are with us. And thank you for writing these books. If someone wants to connect with you and, you know, if they want to interview you, have you speak, or even get the book, can you kind of share that information with us?
Oh, sure. You can find my books on Amazon.com, either by, you know, typing in my name or the book title. And you can contact me from my contact page on my website, which is AdrienneVincentSutton.com.
Awesome. And I have, when you look down and you see the write up for this, you'll see her website link there. And there's also links from her website to where you can get the books on Amazon. So you just click down there and you'll see it all
right
there.
Right.
So I personally do give her books out as gifts to children. I know when it's their birthday or Christmas, stuff like that. And like I said, I've read Bad Hair Day myself, and I really enjoyed it. And I, you know, maybe there is a next part coming in the future, and we see how as she gets older and she matures into this hair she has. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hint, 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 hint.
Mm-hmm.
No pressure.
No, not at all.
But I always like to wrap up the show asking our guests, you have 30 seconds to leave a message with our audience. What's that key message or takeaway you want to leave them with?
Well, as far as hair goes, I just encourage all girls, all women, Black, white, whoever, embrace your hair, embrace you. And I, you know, but especially Black women, and Black men to do the same and encourage their mothers, sisters, aunts to do that. And in general, especially this month, I would just like everybody to pick up a good book, whether it's by me or just a Black author, and find something that can entertain you or just teach you something new, take you on a journey. But I think that's so worth it. Not many people are reading actual books. Pick up a book.
Thank you, Adrienne Vincent Sutton, author of Bad Hair Day and The Money Spell, for joining us here today. You know, and I just want to say it's one of the main things that I take away from interviewing you as well as Dr. Tamika Ellington is, you know, we have to, it's this thing about acceptance and owning who we are, and that we, you know, should not be part of the problem and this judgment we have with each other, that we need to learn to celebrate it and lift each other up, vice constantly bringing each other down. There's a movie that was out on Netflix, and I mentioned it in the interview with Tamika, Dr. Ellington, and it was Napoli Ever After that was on, I believe it was on Netflix. And one of the things that she says in there, I think it's at closer to the end, is never let someone's negative opinion of you become your reality. So there, regardless of who you are, what ethnicity, you know, there's going to be someone who doesn't like your hair. You're going to have bad hair days. And someone's going to say something maybe about you or to you. And for the young girls, you know, with this whole thing with social media and what people can say. But don't give them that power so that you then make this a reality, that you start to believe these things. Own it. Know who you are. And I'm going to say it again. Never let someone's negative opinion of you become your reality. Adrian, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Coach. This has been a fun conversation. I've learned, I mean, I didn't know that the conversations about hair type was that deep. but it has been great, and thank you so much for being here with us. And I look forward to the books that you're going to write in the future.
Oh, thank you. It's been such a pleasure, Carolyn.
And I want to thank our listeners out there for joining us for another exciting episode of Let's Coach. Again, we have a lot of exciting episodes planned. And, you know, we took a little different course here when we kind of shifted this month to talk about, and you know, it's for Black History Month. We decided to do things a little differently and talk about a subject that does have economics, social, cultural, and psychological impacts in this whole thing about black hair. So I encourage you kind of, you know, keep the conversation going. And so we still have lots of leadership and business ideas that we'll be sharing throughout the year. But thanks for taking this little journey with us. And so I want you to stay safe out there. And remember, if it ain't broke, make it better. Have an awesome, blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.